Well, folks, I stay up to midnight finishing the draft. AB leaves early. No AB. But we got a show for you today, folks. Let's run down the S&P 500 index futures, some of the other commodities. We'll get things going. We'll get things going right now. We are trading up 36 and a half handles, 51.1875. The buck in the green by a dime at 105.55. We have the TLT slightly higher, just under 88. Crude having a good morning, up 67 cents. Gold in the green by 14.20, 23.56, just trying to inch its way back up to that all-time high. Silver trying to get in the 28 handle, up 26 cents to 27.895. Bitcoin slightly in the red. That is in the red by $64,720. We'll come in with the ad. Triple D coming in on the fly. Triple D. I just have to say the price action from yesterday, from that PCE number down to that low, back up to that after hours high, I don't know if I can recall more wicked price action in, I don't know, since COVID.
Volatility, just amazing volatility yesterday. And they came in and what again rescued us? I kind of suspected it, tweeted it out. The AI trade rescues us once again here. They came in. What are they buying right away off the hop? They're buying NVIDIA. NVIDIA went green, Joel. Like it was down 10 bucks, I think, off the bat. I think it went green like 5 minutes after the open. Institutional money managers come in and say, hey, look, if we're going to worry about inflation here again, we're buying AI stocks. And then it just rolled over into all tech and they started to buy all tech, you know, all day. All tech was getting bought here. I was looking at my long-term portfolio and I talked about this on the 3:30 show. I wanted to increase my tech exposure. I'm like, well, which stock am I going to buy? You know, I thought about Microsoft, but then they were going to print. And I'm like, I kind of was convicted. I thought Microsoft was going to beat in the print, but I was like, I can't bring myself to pay 30 times earnings or 32 times earnings. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to buy the Qs in the long-term portfolio because I think Microsoft is actually going to beat. And I thought Microsoft might rally. I said this on the 3:30 show, our 3:30 show last night.
You said you thought it might go back to all-time high.
Yeah, I said that. And that's why I was like, you know what? This was my thinking around 9:45. I'm just going to buy the Qs. So I bought Qs in the 419 and 420 handle for the long-term portfolio because the AI trade is not going away. We're in such the early innings. I still think we're in the first inning. And I think this tech trade is going to be real here for a while. So I think even, you know, if we go into a mini recession, even if, you know, if rates continue to go a little bit higher here, even if we don't get any rate cuts here, it's not good for small caps, not good for certain sectors. I don't think tech cares. I think tech's going back to all-time highs. I don't think there's much stop. And I was looking at the pullback and saying, well, look, Qs are 449. We're getting them at 420. It's not a 10% pullback, but it's a, you know, 6-7% pullback here. I'm like, it's something. I just believe the Qs are going to be all-time highs here by the end of the year, maybe even sooner than that. And that's why, you know, I added some Qs directly to my long-term portfolio. Couldn't figure out the stock, which one I wanted. Didn't want to add NVIDIA. Didn't want to add AMD. I'm already in those. Didn't want to stomach the Microsoft. Didn't want Apple. I'm like, you know what? I don't know who to buy. Let's buy the Qs. Sometimes just buy the market.
You know, if you think about it, all, you know, all the years investing in everything and taught to a lot of young people, and I'm just, you know, just start with 50 bucks, you know, or 100 bucks, and put, you know, 33 in like the S&P and 33 in the triple Qs. And, you know, let's say if you even said 33 in IWM, I mean, you know, a little diversification, you don't have as much single stock exposure. I mean, you're not going to get the wild returns that you do when these stocks have these huge moves, but over the long course period of time, you know, you do accumulate. But that was a great call. It was just under the 50% retracement. Yeah. You know, we talked about that, a 50% retracement of the move. That's the bulls stepped up yesterday when they needed to step up. Meta shook people. PC. Now, Dennis, everything. We can talk all rosy and everything. But at 8:30, what happens?
We got the PC number, and things are going to change rapidly at 8:30 here. Everything could flip. You know, everything could just go the other way. If the light number comes in a little bit light, it could change. If the number comes in hot, we just tank right back down, you know, and then maybe the Qs start to get some back too. But again, I think the Qs don't care as much as the IWM, which is why I want to increase my tech exposure. Egg on my face, they're giving me heat here because, you know,
let's go.
There's a lot of people who love it when I lose money. So Intel, we got to talk Intel here. Terrible call by me, bag holding it here for sure. Thought that they could pull a Tesla and, you know, maybe pop even if they said anything okay. I think Mizuho summarized the Intel quarter the best. They said, I'm trying to grab it here.
I got it, Dodd. They beat by 4 cents. 18
the earnings, yeah. Go ahead. Sales, give us the earnings.
Yep. So they beat by 4 cents on the EPS. Whoopee. But they missed on sales. I mean, they missed on sales. They gave some guidance that the street did not like at all. So I think it was a mixed report, but that weak QPS guidance, I mean, man, what a fall from grace here. Now, where are you? You're in no man's land. We are off the pre-market low. Pre-market low comes in at 31.81. I'll get my last technical take on this, and then you can give your fundamental and technical take. It's got to get back over 34 bucks. You put that many, boom, that many lows in the same area. Major support now becomes major resistance.
Yeah. So Mizuho summarized it too. And they just said, just when you think it can't get worse for Intel, it does. And I mean, it's just the profitability of this company. And obviously, you know, we're talking about, you know, moving over here and you getting government grants and, you know, they're going to be the next Taiwan semiconductor. That's all just too far away. So yeah, they made 18 cents. But, you know, when you just start putting the numbers on it, they've just got so much cash burn here from their other operations and trying to grow. I do think eventually Intel's going to figure it out. So, you know, I don't know. I could eat the loss. Not down 10%. It's just like that, you know, boom, boom, because the thing's down 8% here today. Could eat the loss. It's probably the prudent thing to do. But you know what? I deserve this loss because what did I do wrong here? Learn from my mistakes here. And you know, and I'm on here, you know, and I'm talking, you know, NVIDIA. I did a lot of things right this year. I've had a pretty good year in my long-term portfolio, and I've had an excellent year in my trading portfolio so far. You know, but you're not going to get 100% of them right.
Nope.
I'm sorry. If I did, I would be the richest man in the world. But if I'm right 55% of the time, I'm going to be okay. My long-term account's up significantly this year. My trading account is at all-time highs. But okay. Intel here, I got this one absolutely wrong. You know, wrong. And deserve to lose. Go ahead, Joel. You did it.
I mean, it's not like you had it in your long term. And
I did.
It wasn't my long term. But I mean, you didn't go swing and you didn't go in your trading account. Or did you go?
No, Intel, my trading account. I went. Okay. I put in the long term portfolio with two thoughts. One, I kind of wanted to own Intel because it's come way back down, you know, long term. And then two, I thought they could pull a Tesla. So I kind of wanted it in the long term. And I'm like, I don't want to miss it. I really had in my head, I didn't want to miss it, like if they gapped it back up. But, you know, this is just a stock that's just so out of favor right now. So one, buying a stock in a downtrend, no. Two, buying one of the weakest stocks in the sector, you know, worst of breed, if you will, you know, so doing all those things wrong. So deservedly losing that money, you know, trying to be a hero, the hero trade. Oh, I'm going to call the bottom of Intel. You know what? You did. You know why? Because stocks like NVIDIA bounce back quickly. Stocks like Intel just drift lower.
All right, let's go from the bad in the ugly. We reverse things a little bit. And what, I mean, Microsoft, one thing that it got punished for the Meta report, right? So that got people all nervous. And then Microsoft comes out. Microsoft being Microsoft, 294 versus 282. They beat on sales, made almost $62 billion versus a $61 billion estimate. What a wicked move. Look at the range in this thing. Look at it. Took out support at 397. Now you're back over 420. I don't know what the expected move was on this one, Dennis, but were there any offers to be seen at all on this one?
No, it ripped so fast, Joel. And we cover Google too. We'll cover them both. They both came out basically at the same time. So did you give us Microsoft earnings?
I just gave Microsoft.
Give us the Google earnings too. We'll cover them both. They came out the same time, man. And the market, the queues were just instantaneously up $3. It felt like it was just a blink of an eye. It was so fast. The algorithms are so fast. Not like it was, you know, 20 years ago where they slowly buy it up. No, it's instantaneously repriced. Microsoft was instantaneously up like 16 bucks. Google was instantaneously, if you bring up the Google chart, same thing, up like $15. Right. The numbers don't even really matter. I mean, it's all about the price action, right?
It was pretty interesting. Now, 189 versus 151. And then, $2 billion.
Dividend to buyback.
I know, a dividend.
Yeah, buyback, dividend, a lot of things right.
They must be feeling good here. I'll just have to say, for Google, let's see. The Google made an all-time high in the pre-market trading at 183.65. And so we backed off a little bit. Don't know what the straddle was, what they were pricing into it. But yep, that's what you have. Let me see the Microsoft. Let me see where Microsoft went to. Microsoft had a spike to all-time high 424. I'm just giving you these levels. Look for some daily highs in that area. Once again, folks, we're giving you all these earnings. We're talking all these things. And you know what? 830 PCE number comes out.
It could all change.
Yep. Could totally change the complexion of the markets. Well, how about a surprise here in Snapchat? Let me pull up.
Before we move on here, I just want to talk the ETF effects.
Oh, that's right.
Here.
Okay.
So Microsoft and Google, and the ETF effects were so pronounced yesterday. I've never seen them this pronounced.
Dennis, explain
ever.
The ETF effect in so, three sentences.
So what we're going to do, it's basic. Well, in three sentences. So both stocks are obviously major components in the QQQ. So Google, and this isn't going to be three cents. It's going to be 3 minutes. But both stocks are major components in the QQQ. If we just want to look at the QQQ breakdown here, Google, obviously the two Googs put them together. I think it's 5%. And Microsoft is 8%. So you're talking, you know, 13.5% is of the Qs is those two stocks. They both, when they both beat like that and go up that quickly, the algos, and it's all algorithmic driven, automatically, not, you know, like people thinking about it or anything, automatically start offering all the non-tech components of the QQQs because they've got to make the math add up. And the Qs, they don't want to drive it up as much as the Microsoft and the Google is up, and every other tech stock is going to be up. So think about the other 65, 70 stocks that are pure tech in the QQQ. Those are probably going to lift on Microsoft and Google as well. So it's going to be a heavy, heavy tech bid. So what they do is they offer all the non-tech components of the QQQs. And everybody thinks the QQQs are like 100 tech stocks. It's not. There's about 27 or 28 stocks that are non-tech. Pepsi in the QQQ. Costco in the QQQ. Amgen in the QQQ. Honeywell, Starbucks, Mondelez, Kraft Heinz, Monster, Fastenal, WBA, you know, AEP, lots of non-tech in the QQQ. Those the algos automatically offer. This has been going on for years, folks, but yesterday it was ridiculous. It was so fast. It's like, boom, they're buying those and automatically they're already starting to sell Pepsi. So, you know, you see Pepsi trading down 1.5 here today. And you're like, what's wrong with Pepsi? You know, trading down, you won't see it, you see it last because stupid FINRA prints. It's offered at 75. Pepsi is offered down $1.68 right now. And if you're like, And again, the stupid FINRA prints make you think it's flat. It's not flat. It's down. It's down $1.68. The reason Pepsi is down today is because Microsoft and Google killed it. That's the honest truth. It's 100% accurate. I don't say anything. You know, I usually say 99% accuracy. I'm 100% accurate here. It's not that Pepsi's got fun news or something, you know. No, it's that Google and Microsoft are so strong that they're offering the non-tech components. So Pepsi is automatically down. I make money by understanding these relationships. You know, I was out there trying to short Pepsi yesterday. I'm trying to short those along with the algos trying to get it. And it's not like they just hammer them down, but they start offering them down, hoping somebody's going to lift them. Oh, the market's going. I'm going to buy some Pepsi. It's going to be up tomorrow. No, it's not. You're stupid. It's going to be down. So, you know, the algos are just fading the dumb money. So that's what you get on this show. Nobody else, nobody ever is talking about this. I've taught this ETF effects for years. I don't know anybody else that teaches it. I could probably write a book on it. There's so much of this going on in the market. The ETF effects are real, folks. They dominate the markets. You know, Microsoft and Google are in like something like 238 ETFs. So, and you know, when you get the QQQ, the most traded one, they automatically sell the other components here. So expect Pepsi to be weak, unless Microsoft, again, PC can change. And, you know, maybe everything reverses. We saw, you know, that the one day last week when we saw the reversal in the one stock. And then, you know, all of a sudden this thing starts to reverse. So things can change. It doesn't have to stay weak. But expect it, you know, if other things being equal, if Google and Microsoft stay this strong and the Q stay this strong, expect Pepsi to be weak.
And it's just, you know, and it's all mechanical. It's all algorithmic.
100%.
Absolutely. I mean, humans cannot be that fast to calculate, you know, everything. It's all press and button. Also, the IWM, like on a day like today, like, look at this, you know, look at the rally we had. And the thing is flat on the day. So you see that as well. We
won't not even in that you're seeing, yeah, you know, like just the rotation, that's overall rotation. But I mean, I just go through the list of them, you know, like Comcast offered down. The FINRA print screwed up because these stocks are not trading where they're showing. They're offered down. So Comcast is down 17 cents. Not much, but it, you know, it's down on a day that the S&Ps are up 3. Cisco is down. They throw Cisco in the dang thing. I don't know why they do that. Pepsi, obviously, that's an easy one. Costco, COST, is down $2 here right now. You had T-Mobile report last night. So a couple of those, if they report, can obviously do their own thing. So I would toss those out if they report because they're going to trade on their earnings. Earnings trump ETF effects. You know, stocks like, you know, like you just go through the whole list of them. There's 27 or 28 of them there. They're almost all off or down unless they report or have their own individual news.
Okay. All right. Let's just get a few more earnings reports here. That was a great explanation of that. If you're looking for a reason why your Pepsi or your Costco's down, it's not that the company did something bad or whatever. It's just that effect playing and, you know, provide liquidity to the markets. But maybe that's not the kind of liquidity that you want to see. But I think the surprise report of the day here, Dennis, has to be Snapchat. We talked about it. And I said to you, oh, no one cares about Snapchat. Trading in just this small range. Also, the Meta earnings probably had people a little bit worried. But hey, they beat. They made 3 cents. They were supposed to lose a nickel. Oh, man, compare the money that made. They were kind of flat on the sales, right? At $1.2 billion. DAUs increased 10% year over year. Revenues up a little bit. I just think they're just looking for something to buy, Dennis, here. What do you think about this?
They're buying tech. I mean, they're buying everything tech. Everybody's got it on their, you know, thinking too that TikTok's going to get banned and Meta and Snapchat and Pinterest, for that matter, are going to benefit big time from this. So they've got that trade going on too. They maybe wanted to buy this. Gapping into a gap is always interesting here, Joel. So we gapped down significantly on the last earnings report from 17 bucks down to 12. And we know it's just been meandering here and hanging out for 3 months. Now we got back up into that area. So your major resistance up here is 16, 17, filling that gap. And you know, and that, but you're kind of in the middle here right now. So sometimes you're just like, well, it's in the middle. This is, you know, a curve ball. I'm not going to try to swing at this. It could go up and try to fill the gap. It could come right back down. So I think you just lay off a trade like this. Sometimes there's no easy setup. This is not an easy setup now.
I just say, I think things could thicken up here. 1504, that's your after hours high, the immediate reaction. It backed off a buck. I just want you folks to just keep in mind here that you have a stock like Snap, right, that trades 20, 30, 40 million shares. If you're in a regular session, you will have your market makers in there and order it for the make that kind of move, the blow through the 12s, the 12 and a half, 13, 13 and a half, 14s. You got to have a ton of liquidity. Now, 2 million shares have traded. It's strong. It's big. People are caught short. But man, oh man, I think right now, if I had a target on this thing, just look at things calming down, looking at that 15-minute chart, I'd have some offers out there at 1450. Since it's come down since that 4 a.m. open, it hasn't been able to get into 1450. We're right up here between 14 and 15 on the chart. So gapping into a gap area. We're about 11 minutes away from our PCE number. And we have Jeremy Schwartz in the background here. Jeremy, you joined us a little bit early.
You can come in early. You want to bring him in right now?
Can we bring you on?
Jeremy, you ready?
Here he comes.
Give us thumbs up. He's ready. Jeremy, he's hanging out in the background. I'm like, why not make Jeremy wait there? I mean, he's here. Let's go. We love Jeremy. What's up, Jer?
Hey, Dennis.
How are you?
I figured I'd come hear what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, well, we love having you. And you're in the background here. I'm like, let's bring Jeremy on here early here. So what do you think? Well, first of all, you know, obviously everybody's going to talk about Microsoft and Google here today. Thoughts here just on technology altogether here, because it seems like when this market, when the down starts to get down, you start to think, oh, here we go. We're going to go in the bear market. It's tech that bails us out. And I mean, the same thing is happening here once again. Tech bailing us out, the AI trade bailing us out. Thoughts here. Does this continue? Does tech trade continue?
Well, it's interesting, you know, as some fundamental people, you know, WisdomTree has been background in creating 20 years ago, creating dividend indexes. I took the Google News and other as like a first in 20 year history. We had Meta, you know, pay the dividend, and that caused almost like the exact kind of 10% surge when it reported its earnings with its first dividend payment. That then sort of this quarter, it sold off on it. Google, you know, big buyback, big dividend.
Yeah.
And so now the question is that symbolic that they have less of these growth opportunities, but they're trying to show, hey, we could do CapEx and we can return cash to shareholders, which is, you know, kind of the fear for somebody like Meta. Are they just going to be spending on all these sort of wild projects that they don't know if there's going to pay off? But if they could commit to actually returning cash to shareholders, you know, now you see on something like the dividend level versus the buyback. And it's one of the critiques we have on buybacks, which is, you know, they'll announce these big things. It's when you compensate your employees with stock options, you don't want to pay a dividend because the price goes down by the amount of the dividend. With the buyback, you're increasing your per share earnings and all the rest, and they often will do to offset the dilution in stock options, but they're much less predictable. They'll announce some big ones, you know, when they could do 5% of their float. That's often a very good value sign. You know, but it's sort of interesting. I take that as a big shift. And now the question comes for the other big tech companies, which is basically Amazon. You know, do they spend so much that they can't do this?
When are they giving us a dividend? Amazon up 3%. Maybe people think a dividend's coming for Amazon too.
I'm a little bit more skeptical on that one. I mean, and Tesla will be the last, but the
Tesla not giving a dividend anytime soon.
Jeremy, I want to ask you, we're on the line with Jeremy Schwartz, the CIO over at WisdomTree. Now, okay, so they're going to pay a dividend now, right? So that opens it up to a whole new ETFs, right?
Yes.
A whole new funds of investors. How do they, the big money boys, I mean, it's not a huge dividend, right? But it's something. So how do they, you know, how do these funds, the class, I mean, this is the first dividend. You don't know if they're going to be increasing it or not. Apple, then how do they, like, what kind of approach? I mean, do they have to, you know, do they have to have every stock that's paying a dividend in the portfolio? Do they buy it at these, well, we think is exaggerated levels, but who knows where it's going next? How do these mutual funds, these dividend mutual funds really, approach adding new stocks?
And I'll try to differentiate how WisdomTree thinks about this versus some of these others.
I think
we try to be a little bit more forward thinking on some of this. So we do have an index called our dividend index. That's 1400. It's all the dividend paying securities. It weights by the total dollar of dividends. So that's the kind of thing that will add it. And now we usually rebalance in December. I liked one of the things I think about for, I'll give you some of the biggest dividend ETFs. VIG from Vanguard, Dividend Appreciation Fund. They've had a 10-year history where you got to grow your dividends for 10 years in a row to get included. So that's not going to own Google or Meta for the next 10 years.
Wow.
If you look at the aristocrats, there's a few different aristocrats indexes. Take Noble or SDY. They have a 20-year look back. So they're not going to own Google or Meta for until 2045, potentially.
Holy. Right?
So that, you know, we created a few things to try to be forward-looking dividend growth screens, where I call it I used to call it just the Buffett factor, but I've gone on to say, you know, Buffett gave Charlie Munger all the credit for moving his ship to profitability and going away from sort of Ben Graham value, cigar butt, last puff of these value stocks that are dying to, hey, looking for high quality businesses, high profitability, high return equity, high return assets, low leverage. And so we are, you know, we have DGRW, which is a quality dividend growth ETF. It's our largest ETF, a $12 billion ETF for equities.
What was the symbol on that one?
DGRW, dividend growth. And that
I've traded it.
And so that's going to be, you know, we added Meta already. I will, and I think we will, you know, probably be the first dividend growth fund to add Google, you know, in the sense that we want to be forward looking. We want to include new payers sooner versus these funds that look for 10, 20 years, you know? So I think that's the kind of mentality. We're trying to be forward looking, not relying on 5 to 10 years. And I give you two examples that are 10 to 20 years, which are really big ETFs on the SDY, VIG with these crazy 10 to 20 year lookbacks.
Yeah. I think you're getting best of both worlds here too, though. Like, you know, when you're creating something like this, you know, you're trying to get the growth or you're trying to get the dividend, but you're still getting some growth here too. I mean, it's nice. Like you said, when you're going back 10, 20 years, some of those companies are just fully cash cows by then, and they don't have the growth anymore after 15 to 20 years. But when you get these things included, when they first start giving dividends here, you're still probably in the growth phase for a lot of these companies. And we know obviously Meta and Google both in the growth phase. So you kind of get the best of both worlds here, you know, when you're looking at something like that. So I like that.
Yeah.
I did. How much price? I mean, you know, this is just like such a move when you just do the decide to do it. It just takes a long time, right, to scale in. You go run down to your technical analysis director and say, hey, we need to add the stock technically. Look at it over a course of days, weeks, or months in that matter. How do you approach it from a price standpoint?
I know most of the time we're doing very, you know, we rebalance in that family once a year.
Okay.
So that would be like a December type rebalance. Now, when Meta paid its dividend, I said, hey, this is a major event. And, you know, so, you know, we have a precedent in March where we added Meta basically right away.
Okay.
Basically right away in the following few weeks after it paid its first dividend. I could, you know, we haven't announced anything on Google, but we have a little precedent of doing it on Meta. So, you know, we'll take some stock, think about it. But I, you know, that the philosophy behind some of these major companies, these are big market moving events that you want to reflect early, particularly when our whole mentality on those. And I said, after Meta paid, I said, yeah, watch Google. And it's quite interesting that it did pressure Google to do it.
Okay, that's it. We always like to bring you in for some macro talk, and we've had you on, you know, consistently here, and, you know, a muddled interest rate environment, you know, the street getting way ahead of itself. Hey, we're going to have to cut 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and now, we're coming up on a number here. So just real quick, Jeremy, I'm going to shift gears with you. Dennis is going to go in the background.
I'm going to go in the background, and you guys are going to take us through the number here. Joel's going to give us the number. We're going to get some Jeremy analysis here as the number comes out.
Oh, boy,
do you have the preview, Joel, the number? Go to the pro. I know. This is where we need AB. He'd be ready. Me and Joel
we don't need him.
You got it.
All right.
AB, we always need you, but...
we are looking at our economic calendar here for today, 8:30 a.m. Oh, wow. We also have Michigan consumer sentiment coming out for this Friday. We got the PCE core. PCE is looking to year. What do they care about? Month over month, year over year.
All of it.
They're all at like 2.5 for year over year. Index 2.5, 2.6 are estimates. We'll see what kind of number we get after this kind of rally here. This just better be a really good number. Jeremy, what do you think about the PCE numbers coming up?
Well, certainly the fear of the Fed staying too high for too long, we'll get into all our analysis of where the trend is going. We do think the inflation trend is coming down, and we think that there's probably more cuts even than, you know, now is priced in. But we talked a little bit at the beginning of the year that you didn't need all the cuts that was priced in for the market. So we'll talk a little bit more about this after we get this number.
But I do think
the trend is positive.
All right, I'm going to give you a technical setup real quick, and it's pretty easy here. Our after-hours high yesterday was 31.75. 50% retracement of the move is just above that at 51.42 and a quarter. If they don't like this number, I am not going to tell you there's any support. Here we come in. We just got a G. Oh, they were moving up. I'd have to say that this is coming in as a pretty darn good number. We just took out the pre-market high. They're buying it. We were up to, we've popped 20, 30 handles. We did take out the pre-market high by a little bit. Waiting for that March PCE inflation, personal income, and consumer spending. The street is liking it. TLT is liking it. Just about all the stocks here across the board are getting a lift here. The buyers are absolute in control. What do we have here on the PCE numbers? They just popped up there for a second. All we need to look is at the price reaction. Half of this move, half of the move that we've had from that all-time high down to that low, just 1 week ago, 130 handles lower, is now right there, that 50% retracement, 42 and a quarter. That's looking like maybe a number here coming in, waiting for it here, still
holding
up.
In line. Yeah, you're not looking at the spot, right spot on the price. That's why we need AB. 0.3% versus 0.3% looks like in line. That's all I'm going to say. I got to go trade. In line.
Okay. In line.
Personal spending was up a little tick up on personal spending.
Okay. All right, Jeremy. There we go. We got the number. Personal spending just up a tick, 0.8 versus 0.7 PCE in line here. Looking at a lot of different things. Where does this put the Fed, Jeremy?
Well, you know, coming in, the key for us was the Fed showed willingness to cut rates if the economy weakens. What you haven't seen is the economy weakening, right? So the reason they're staying on pause is because you haven't seen unemployment tick up above 4. You haven't seen any negative payroll prints. And, you know, the one component of inflation for CPI is shelter. You know, we do some of our own calculations. Instead of 5.7% that BLS says shelter inflation, we show, I mean, you could use an apartmentless measure that's negative. If you do an average of Zillow, which is a sort of asking rents, and an average of apartmentless, that's sort of 1, it gets you core inflation below 2. So right on Fed target. So it comes back to how at least the CPI, and the PCE has different compositions than exactly CPI, but for CPI, it's basically right on the target. Now, the question will be, they didn't look at that measure that we're talking about back in 21, 22. That would have been screaming 4 to 5% higher than actual inflation was. Now it's screaming a lot lower. And can they start saying, well, hey, inflation does have this tailwind. Housing inflation is going to come down. It's going to be an offset. The reverse right now is commodity prices were in a big downtrend. They've been rising. But, you know, I think the cooling housing inflation will be enough to offset the official CPI statistics. And but you know, so we think they should uninvert the yield curve, but you know, because of this inverted slope that you get 5.5% with taking no risk, you know, part of the issue and one of the reasons why the market's not screaming lower at the moment is hey, the 10-year supported. You know, if the 10-year went from 470 to 520, that could pressure stocks. But you could get 5.5 in floating rate treasuries. You don't need to do anything. Take any risk, 5.5%, hang out, that they call T-bill and chill. You know, you can earn very good returns earning 5.5%. So I'm not chasing duration. I'm not chasing the 10-year. I know people say, I've been listening to Bloomberg or CNBC. Everybody wants to buy bonds. Hey, you get long duration bonds, lock in these rates. But you get 5.5% taking no risk, where I think the actual equity risk is from the 10-year going to 520. And, you know,
so really? Yeah. Okay. With where does this put like what Mr. Powell's done? There's been a lot of criticism, right? He transitory, right? That famous word transitory. Then everything catches up. He does a pivot, really blows everybody at the water at the end of 2023 with his Fed pivot. Where does it put what the Fed actions were going to be and just overall assessment of the Jerome Powell trying to find? I know Jeremy Siegel kind of gets not too thrilled with them sometimes, but what's your assessment here so far?
Yeah, that's putting it quite politely, not too thrilled. You know, we often say, yes, he's landing the plane and hey, we're navigating through this. We're skirting through without this recession. But that doesn't mean he should get credit for like what the analogy we always give is, hey, you're a drunk driver, you hit somebody, then you take them to the hospital to save their life. Like we shouldn't have been in the situation that we were in, where you actually created, he helped fuel the inflation back a few years ago. They didn't have to give all the money printing. They didn't, yes, we needed this pandemic relief measures in COVID, but he didn't have to buy all the bonds and finance it. You know, they could have forced the government to issue the bonds, pay higher rates that would have actually been a constraint on inflation. It's sort of the money printing to finance all the government spending that helped fuel the inflation that we have now. So yes, we're landing the plane. We're getting inflation under control. We think it's trending well, but that you don't get a passing grade for now landing the plane after you created the problem.
Okay. I like a couple of analogies here that you use. Just the price action over the last day and a half here with the Meta results, the PCE, obviously that information we're getting today conflicting with the information that we're getting now. You see these moves in the markets like this. You thought you were smart yesterday morning, not chasing the rally. Now you back up at the high of the move, just about 50%. I mean, does this set the table here just to run back up to 5,300, the all-time highs, or more of a back and fill, or more of a trading range?
Well, Ed, we talk about how concentrated is the tech leadership. You know, I do think our view was the improving economy and sort of the pushing out of this recession and Powell showing willingness to cut if the economy weakens, lowered that hard landing probability. And that should say you should buy stocks priced for a recession. What are those stocks? Small cap quality value stocks. You know, we talked about DGRW before. We have DGRS, which is small cap quality, kind of same concept, but applied in small cap universe. Those stocks are trading at 13 times earnings. And, you know, not the S&P at 21 times earnings, not the tech sector at 30 times earnings. It's 13 times earnings. And, you know, now what you need from that segment to actually start performing is earnings growth. And, you know, these for sure, the tech companies have been leading earnings growth. And the expectations are for, say, the Mag 7 and Netflix to have doubled the earnings growth of the rest of the market over the next 3-5 years. But if small caps can benefit from this more improving and sort of not collapsing economy, you could say a catch-up trade in valuations are certainly very depressed relative to history.
Yeah, but I mean, what is that catch-up trade done for you? I mean, look at it. Yeah. I mean, IWM, I mean, sure, we've gotten a little bit of a rebound. We're trading up $1.61 today in the buy mentality. If you're going to go into the small, I just think rates can be steady. If your thesis for getting into the small caps is just that interest rates are coming down, I think you might be disappointed over the short term. Are there any sector, or give us some ETFs from WisdomTree that if you're still a believer in the small caps that investors should be keeping an eye on?
I agree with you on my call on rates that, hey, I don't be overly reliant on just the rate story, but DGRS is the one that I talk a lot about, as it's got this dividend, DGRS.
Okay. Oh, you mentioned that one. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is the one that has the profitability screen. Oh, S is in Sam, sorry.
Where? DGRS?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So this has that. One of the things that small caps are trading on is that rates move. They're the ones reliant on bank lending. They're the only one paying the higher rates because large caps extended maturities. These small caps, this does have a screen for quality profitability, less leverage than the broader small cap universe, less, you know, the Russell 2000 has 30% that's not profitable. And so this is not like that. This, you know, you got to be profitable effectively to be in. It's got stronger earnings growth. And so this is, I think, the place within the small cap universe to be.
Okay. All right. Now, I had from my notes here, you had WisdomTree itself had earnings tomorrow at 7 a.m. Can you talk about what you're seeing in your business and things that you're working on, where you see the ETF flows going across the industry?
Yeah, we announced earnings this morning. Sort of record AUM today. We have about $107 billion at the firm. So this is up considerably over the last few years. I think the street was expecting a little bit a penny below where we reported. So I think it was a good positive quarter. We had a big margin expansion. So in the last, call it 12 months, margins have moved up considerably higher, like over 800 basis points of margin expansion. And, you know, so it's been a continued strong flow growth. I mean, two of our leading ETFs this year, some of the, you know, one that was very hot before, but DXJ for Japan, again, overnight, the yen is weakening, 157. We've seen $1 billion come into DXJ this year. Arguably, a lot more should be coming to DXJ when you look at, say, you know, the traditional performance of the leading Japan ETF, which is EWJ versus DXJ. It's a night and day difference because they're exposed to the weak yen. Value is working. So everything is working for DXJ, and it should be doing even better. But $1 billion is coming to DXJ. That's supporting earnings. Over a billion in the last 12 months has come into EPI for India. India has been one of the leading ETFs, and it is approaching highs, and it's benefiting from the rotation away from China. You know, if you say if the flows to emerging markets, India has taken in almost as much flows as just broad emerging market funds this year, and the only broad emerging market fund taking fund is ex-China. You know, so it is basically a part of continuation in the India story. We're super bullish over the next. This is a multi-decade story. This is not just a this year story. Is India is where all the global growth is, best demographics, good elections coming up, should be continued supportive. So that's positive. And then the future, we're building something called WisdomTree Prime. We just got approved by the New York DFS, sort of Department of Financial Services, to be a trust company. And we're going to be able to offer services in New York. But we're now in, call it 75% of the country, 41 states with WisdomTree Prime, which is got 13 different digital tokens. You hear a lot about Bitcoin, and yes, Bitcoin and Ether are in this WisdomTree Prime app, but it's really spending, and you're going to be able to spend off of treasuries, like a money market fund, treasuries, and sort of going in many ways offering a lot of new services. And this is one of the exciting growth areas for us for the next, you know, multi-year period that we're going to be investing in. And then it's an exciting opportunity. We think there's a lot that blockchain is going to do to help us change sort of infrastructure finance. And that WisdomTree Prime is a big, big thing.
What about China? Is there, we talk about the catch-up trade in the IWM, China trading up another 45 cents today here. Always, you know, a lot of concerns with, you know, what can happen. With the government, is this a little bit better of a catch-up trade here? I mean, someone put in the chat yesterday that it's trading well over, or just finally got over its 200-day moving average. So give us some thoughts on China.
You know, we have somebody on my team who's a China economist, has 20 family members in China, so gets a lot of, I think, on-the-ground insights. And I'm waiting for her to tell me to go long China, and she keeps telling me to stay away in many ways, is that it's not overly bullish time. She doesn't think the property dynamics are easily solved, sort of a longer lasting drag on the economy. They don't really have the capacity to really aggressively stimulate. And this geopolitical scenario, I mean, you got Blinken over there now and trying to talk about the update on progress between all the different tensions that we have over there. It's not an easy thing how this stuff gets resolved. And so I think this is staying with us. And so maybe people are trying to play this tactical call. I'd still prefer India. I'd still prefer Japan, EMX China. I would do other things than go to
to go directly to China. I don't, the emerging markets, same kind of thing. Wow, I'm looking at the EEM here. On the monthly, serial underperformer here. Looks like if you can clear this $42 here, talk about the emerging markets. Do you guys have an ETF for the emerging markets?
We have a lot of them. But
what's the best one?
I'd say for this ex-China idea, it's DGRE. We talked a lot about quality dividend growth. DGRE is a is one that is also sort of ex-China positioned, and it's definitely holding up much better in the short term.
Okay, Jeremy Hood, CIO at Wisdom Tree. Thank you for coming on early here, for taking us through the number, and we'll dial you up again real soon. So thanks again, Jeremy, and have a good day. Have a good weekend.
I appreciate coming on. We have our earnings call today. People want to come on at 11 o'clock. I want to hear more about the business. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, Triple D. You had some action there. You had to pop almost 50%.
Yeah, IWM ripped on it because TLT was ripping, and TLT is starting to fade, and IWM is fading as well. I'm noticing non-tech stocks not participating much. I kind of was skeptical. I was like, it was up 1%. I was like, it doesn't look like they want to rip this non-tech stocks. There's still a million stocks trading red today. I'm like, there's no way they're going to have IWM up 1%. When you got all the staples down, all the oil stocks are down, the banks are turning red. You've got like, you know, some pile of other stocks down here too. We talked about the non-tech components, QQQ. If I'm looking at my screen, you won't believe this. I have like I have 200 of the major companies on there. Honestly, half stocks are red. Half the stocks are red. So I don't think IWM can hold up here. I think it's going to go back down. I think it's going to give it all back. So yeah, up 1% okay.
Can you give me five stocks off that screen?
Well, Procter & Gamble trading down. Costco, we already talked. Costco's down $5 now. They're hitting those harder. $5 Costco's down. Yeah, it's trading down five right now. $4.81. I mean, I can just go through. Every oil stock is trading down. Obviously, at Exxon, Chevron earnings, which we'll get to. But, I mean, Wells Fargo just ticked back to red. We've got, you know, JP Morgan's trading in the red. Goldman Sachs is ticking back to red here now. You know, they ticked up on the print. But they're all leaking, and you can see it here. And like they're starting to realize the ARBs just TLT up by IWM. And stocks are like, no, the non-tech stocks. Tech stocks are going to rip. Non-tech is saying, we're not having it. And it's not surprising at all. Sometimes you just got to watch the indexes. And in the pre-market, they're driven by algorithms, and they're not looking. You know, Caterpillar's downgraded today. It's trading down. You know, McDonald's, AT&T, Verizon, Coca-Cola, Walmart. There's so many. There's so many that are red here today. I mean, Tesla's red too.
Tesla's red now. Oh boy.
Tesla's been red most. Tesla had some type of news headline. I saw it go by on there. It's not surprising IWM is fading significantly here though, because the stocks just weren't having it.
It's one of these days. I mean, yeah, you did call it a couple earlier days. I think it was, lose track of days here. I believe on Wednesday where we had a little bit of a fade here. I mean, up 41 hand. You don't see it one of these big green to big red days, right? I mean, it's too many people.
I don't know on the S&P because you've got Google and Microsoft up so much. The S&P is so tech-centric as well. I do think the IWM just went up 1% here. I think it's going to go red.
Okay.
I think we're going to see the IWM go red here. Just look at went to 199. We're back to 197. We just gave back $2 for that rally. It was just a ridiculous rally. It was not warranted whatsoever on this day. Just because inflation expectations came in line, they're like, oh yeah, we've beaten inflation. Have we really, folks? Have we? Was run number. So you see it now. It's trying to go red here already. It's giving back $2 of the rally.
Yeah,
so
there's two stories happening here. Fall out of bed too.
We've got tech that is like just ripping, and then you have everything else that is dipping. So who wins? You know, S&P obviously very tech central. IWM. And have any tech in it. So it's a good indicator of what, you know, we're seeing in other stocks here. But there is a lot of stocks trading in the red today. When you see a day where the S&P is up 50 handles, and it just was, and the IWM was ripping, you think everything is green. I'm looking at my screen. I was like, there's so much that's still red. There's so many stocks not participating. That's the lie detector test in itself in the pre-market.
He's looking at the actual stocks. Yep. Okay.
And you can't do this during the regular session because it all adds up. At 9:31, everything is open and it all adds up. So it's where it is. But at 8:30 in the morning, there's so many stocks that are just not even open, or there's so many stocks that are not trading. It's like guessing. The algos are guessing to a certain extent. They can look at, you know, Microsoft where it's trading and it's an active market, Google where it's trading, it's an active market. But you know, when you're trying to get an active market like Procter & Gamble, what's 80 cents wide? We don't know where it's going to open. So, you know, but I can see it's wanting to tick red here. You can see there's not a lot of buyers coming in and say, give me some Procter & Gamble, man. Give me some Procter & Gamble. You're not seeing it. Usually, you know, those stocks, when you see the TLT start ripping, will start to catch a bid. But the ETF effects knocking down, obviously, non-consumer and staples are getting hit. It's a risk-on day. Lots of reasons for that behind it. But sometimes in the pre-market, you can just give the lie detector test to the stocks. So having it on your screen, looking at them all, saying, hey, I don't see lit up green here. I see, you know, green and red pretty evenly split. No way is the IWM opening up 1%. It was a gift.
I want to just point out, we're going to go to the big oil earnings here in 1 second. But now these stocks had news. They had the earnings. They're big components in the S&P. But I'm just looking at the reaction in both of these stocks. Microsoft hit 422 in the after-hour session. When the S&Ps, of course, they've already had their catch-up. On that number, while the S&Ps were ripping, you found sellers. People are locking in profits here. So the I believe the highs for the sessions, that pre-market high is something you're not going to see in Microsoft. Google, you're not going to see. Like, nothing's 100%.
This is bad, man, that they gave it back like this.
It is. This is
fading. It caught people. Every algo that's chased just went red. Caught.
Look out below.
Yeah, look, just went red on the TLT. Just ticked red on the TLT.
Okay.
And again, it's going to be choppy, folks. I don't think you got to come in here and chase stocks and, you know, ah, sell, buy, sell. Algos are like scrambling though right now. They bought all that IWM. They're like, crap. Like the person who's running that algo is like, crap. TLT was rallying, but the stocks didn't participate. Somebody lost a lot of money buying IWM all the way up to 199. Don't kid yourself. Somebody lost a lot of money today. Good on the people who are selling out there. Sometimes just have your orders out there and stupid things happen. That was absolutely ridiculous rallying the IWM today.
Okay. Let's,
just because Microsoft and Google are having a day doesn't mean that everything else is going to go too.
Okay. That's we're coming up. We got 9 minutes left here. We're going to go to ExxonMobil. Well, they missed 206 versus 220. Total revenues and other income beat by they beat by a nice amount here, but they are tend to be focusing on that 14-cent earning miss here. Taking a look, ExxonMobil, just you had consistent sellers at this 121 area. I know yesterday's high. Actually, I'll just give you 121 because that was a cluster of five highs in a row. You broke it down. You're way off the pre-market low here. I don't know, Dennis. This one looks a little sketchy here. I don't think if you don't catch a bid here right at 119, 119 and a half, that's an area of three lows here. Talk about the nice run-up, the high bar in ExxonMobil after making new all-time high, not meeting that high bar.
Hang on.
Okay.
Always the way. I'm getting picked off. Hang on. Sorry, I got to go first.
Right, go. Back. You can go back. Okay. All right. Let's go. I just gave you the price action there. Let's go to the earnings report for CVX, its sister. CVX, what's the report there? Well, they beat on the EPS by 6 cents, but a revenue miss, the exact opposite of ExxonMobil worldwide production. Well, that's been up 12%. CVX, let's go to the charts here, and we will take a look. That's only trading down 68 cents. S&Ps are making a new low on the day. We will probably be seeing unchanged in this session. We are 12 and a quarter pre-market low, a lot of air in there. If you're looking to get your money back at the mark in the S&Ps, that comes in at 50.82. Wow. Had a lot of fluff there. You back, Triple D?
I'm really okay. I had thrown an order out there that I forgot about when we took off and we were up 1%, and then I got dinged when we went just flat on the IWM. But actually, IWM popped back up and I got myself hedged, so I'm okay here now. But anyways, we went. It was predictable, honestly. We went up 1%. I was like looking, and I was like, wow, I can't believe the gift this morning there. Should have just loaded up IWM short, you know, 198, 198 and a half, 199, because it just was not happening. And you know what? Bad day. Not saying for the S&Ps. Going to have a good day. It's Google, Microsoft. But expect more shop. Don't chase. You know what the bottom line here is, Joel? This is a lesson in tasting. A lesson in chasing here. You know, if you're sitting out here and you're just like, yeah, man, buy stocks. We're going. You know, Microsoft's up 20, 30. It's buying, buying, buying. Don't chase in this market. We're not in the market where we should be chasing stocks. You know, why did I do okay yesterday? Buying into the dip, the QQQs. And, you know, now, you know, we should have probably been selling into the rip here. You know, back at the 430, the QQQs. Bring up the QQQ. What's the after-hours high? I bet you it's around 430. Right tick into the two-day high. Yeah, look at it. It's crazy, eh, how those levels work. Your levels, Joel, you taught me that 25 years ago. Those levels work. The QQQ high 2 days ago, 429.73, right around where we're failing here again. So yep. You just got to look. And I'm not saying we're going to roll over and die and the story is over here. But just saying the fade trade is what is working. If you're coming in this morning and IWM, you're buying, 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 you're doing it backwards, man. Fade trade is working. Sell the rips, buy the dips, both working.
And you were fading. You were fading yesterday. I mean, yeah. And I
yeah by buying the dip, that's a fade trade too. It is.
I could tell when you were towards the end of the show that I could see that you were unraveling, you know, or getting your day trades, getting ready to take them off. But you were looking at it like I don't long term, like they're really killing the market. I mean, the meta, the report, whatever, AI is a little bit behind. That means the whole market's bad. Because Meta, you know, reacted negatively to the report after having, you know, such a magnificent run. I gave the earnings for Chevron and Exxon Mobil here. I know you do trade those sometimes, pairing up against each other. I mean, big runs in these stocks, 155 to 165 here in CVX. The news is out here. Any take on the big
I haven't guys? Had time to look at those reports. It's been a wild morning here, so I know nothing about the individual reports. I do see the pricing action. I do see that this is just not a non-tech day, so automatically this is just not their day. I mean, Microsoft and Google, ExxonMobil and Chevron have been moving opposite overall on some of these stocks for a while here now. So it's not their day. You know, if Microsoft and Google were getting hammered, it's like, oh, we got to buy something. Let's buy oil. Oil's safe. Oil's producing profits. It's not their day today. So it's not the day to be coming in here uber bullish oil, unless Microsoft and Google reverse and tech reverses and everything reverses, which is possible. There's an inverse correlation going with oil and stocks here. It's been going for a while here, not lasting forever, but, you know, identifying those relationships is how I make my living here. I've always said that. You know, and we've been, you know, very strong here, Exxon, Chevron, and weak lately, really, overall in the QQQs. I mean, it's been a bad month for the Qs, going from 449 down to 425. And, you know, recent strength, again, showing in oil doesn't help that. Some things just move opposite to each other. So keep that in mind. Individual reports might not even be the driver here for Chevron and Exxon today. It might just be the fact of, you know, the tech is hot and they're selling other stocks.
All right, we got about 3 minutes left here before we wrap up this Wild and Woolly Friday here. So let's just wrap things up. Dennis, if you don't have, I think we covered all the issues that were on our list. Penn's getting a little sympathy move. I was said something about that. But once again, way off the highs, folks. So Dennis made a great point. You know, go back to the highs, the highs are for the move in your stock. See how much they were exceeded in the pre-market. And if you're looking, if you had bought that wicked dip yesterday, see where you're at just 2 days ago. But what do we have in the chat? Jay Rice throws Charter Communications. That's not a wildfire, down 10, but oh.
Charter is also in the queues. So that's not helping it either. I mean, and I think it had its numbers. So Charter's obviously going to trade on that too. But when you have your numbers, you know, and you report, and you're in the queues, it's not going to help it. You know, like there's already that negative effects, because I believe CHTR, you bring up the QQQs, it's in there. So,
really?
I know. There's a lot of stocks, I'm telling you, the QQQ, everybody thinks it's just tech stocks. It's not. It's heavily weighted tech stocks, but Charter is in the QQQs, 0.28% of it. So that doesn't help it either. And then Charter's just in this, you know, huge downtrend. Oh, the business itself is just in, you know, trouble here. I mean, we got $450 a stock was back in October. It's been cut in half, Joel. I mean, there's some problems here. You know, this is the definition of catching a falling knife too. And you know what? Maybe it worked in Tesla, but didn't work in Intel. Definitely not working in Charter.
Okay, we got time for one more stock here. Let me see if we got anything in the chat. Charter was one. We'll take the next stock that comes in, whether it's an earnings stocks. If you have something that's on your radar that you want to trade today, If we don't have any more stocks to fill that or to talk about, someone, RBRK, is that a penny stock? I don't know. Let's see. RB, it is, man, new, no, it's not a penny stock. Rubric, new IPO. Oh, man. Oh, that's like a tough call. If it holds the close at $37, good to go higher.
I'll trade anything on day one. Gambling Central, man. I have no edge.
One more.
I never trade a stock on day one of earnings or day one of IPO.
They're rolling in just as we're wrapping up the show here. Ulta stock in a downtrend. Man, oh man, I don't see it. I mean, there's better stocks to buy in this one. I don't know. But okay, it's 9 o'clock, Dennis. Thanks a lot. I know you had a busy morning here, a little shorthanded on the desk here, but I hope we got some good information up to you guys. We'll be back Monday. And guess who's coming on Monday? And then I'll repeat, guess who's coming on Monday?
AB.
Oh, I know. I don't know about that.
We love you, AB. He working two jobs. You got him at the office till midnight last night.
Neil is correct. It's Tim Kwas. Tim Kwas will be joining us on Monday. We don't have blue until we have the inflation numbers. Dennis, great job today. Go out there, get them. Everyone, have a great weekend. We'll be back with you guys bright and early Monday morning. Have a great day.